ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hi, welcome back to ShareCare Radio. Today I wanted to talk about some new guidelines both by the American Heart Association and the FDA talking about cholesterol. For years we've been told to limit the cholesterol in our diet, but they've reclassified it and saying it's no longer a nutrient of concern. So what does this mean? You've probably been wondering, so I've pulled in one of the smartest doctors I know, Dr. Keith Roach. He's our chief medical officer at ShareCare and he's co-creator of the Real Age Test. He also practices at New York Presbyterian Hospital and is associate professor at Weill Cornell Medical College. Keith, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Daria. You must only know three doctors if I'm one of the smartest of them.
We won't share our secrets, but for now, we'll let everybody know that you are one of the smartest ones I know, indeed. So I want you to tell us, what are these new guidelines? There are a couple different ones. Who released them and when?
So the AHA guidelines, American Heart Association guidelines, were released last year along with a new calculator for deciding who is likely to have a heart attack in a fixed period of time. And this is to be used for deciding who would benefit from cholesterol-lowering medication or not. Mm-hmm. And just a little while ago, in 2015, the FDA changed their guidelines about dietary treatment and whether cholesterol is something that ought to be limited in the diet.
Okay. So exactly that question. Should cholesterol be limited in our diet?
So I think the FDA has finally caught up to the science and said that in general, no. Cholesterol is not a major risk factor. Dietary cholesterol is not a major risk factor for developing heart disease. And so I think that the FDA did the right thing in telling people that cholesterol isn't what we should be most concerned about.
So what should we be concerned about?
So I would say the most important things to be concerned about in your diet are total amounts of calories coming in compared with going out. You want to be at a net balance of input versus output, unless you're trying mm-hmm. to lose weight, in which case you should have more calories going out than coming in. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we should be concerned about the number of simple sugars coming in. And mm-hmm. I think that the evidence is gradually increasing that sugar is going to be a more and more important part of the development of heart disease. Thirdly, we need to be cautious about fat. But there are four kinds of fat. Two of them are probably net good for you, and two of them are probably net harmful for you. So monounsaturated fat that's found in nuts and olive oil and canola oil and avocados and other good things probably reduce your risk of heart disease. And then there's the polyunsaturated fats, which are found in most other vegetable oils, and those have a net slight beneficial effect on you. On the other hand, there's the saturated fats, and the saturated fats, particularly from meat, predispose to heart disease, and trans-saturated fats, which aren't found in nature at all, but are in hydrogenated vegetable oils, are quite toxic and shouldn't be taken in at all.
Okay, not at all. So you're pretty strong on that for trans fats, and we've heard that, but it's really important to emphasize that because, Keith, I don't hear you say very often that something is totally toxic and should be avoided entirely. But trans fats,
that's
you are
exactly
saying,
right.
Avoid them.
I'm all about moderation mm-hmm. and making smart choices, but there's no reason for trans fat. Trans fat was developed in the 1950s because food scientists knew that saturated fat wasn't good for you. So they were trying to make something that would be healthy, but also inexpensive and with a long shelf life. And it took decades before the science caught up and found, wow, this is really not good for you. It's even worse than saturated fat. And New York City, where I work, instituted a ban on mm-hmm. trans fats. And I think that that's probably ending up saving a bunch of lives already.
That's fascinating. I didn't know the history of it. So it was an attempted way to make it more healthy, but that would that backfired, I would say.
Definitely.
So going back, okay, so I like that it was really helpful. You broke it out into the four different kinds of fat. So What about things like eggs and shellfish? Do we need to still be limiting the eggs and shellfish we eat if we're worried about our cholesterol?
No. Blood cholesterol is composed of two different sources. There's cholesterol that we take in through diet, which is a minority of the cholesterol in your blood, and then there's cholesterol that your body makes, which for most people is the majority of the cholesterol in our blood. If you don't take in a lot of dietary cholesterol, then your body is just going to make more in order to get to the set point where your body wants to be. So by having more dietary cholesterol, your body's just going to make a little bit less, and the net effect on your cholesterol is going to be negligible.
Really? So what is the determinant of that amount that your body makes? Because some people have low cholesterol, some have high. Is it genetic? Are there other things we can do to control that?
It is mostly genetic, but your weight has a major impact on it. So when I see people with high cholesterol levels, when we talk about the dietary treatment of high cholesterol, the first place that I like to work is getting people to lose a few extra pounds if they have the extra pounds to lose. The next thing that I like to do is make sure that they're low on the saturated fat and the simple sugars, because that affects the LDL cholesterol and the triglycerides.
Fascinating. So we've just been looking at the wrong thing all along. It's not as simple as the cholesterol in your food.
It is certainly not as simple as that, and it has taken us years and years to work it out. And let's not be shocked if 5 years go by and we make some other discoveries that we have been saying wrong all along, and we're going to change things. That's the nature of science.
That is the nature of science and research. I mean, if you look at the 90s, fat was bad and everything was with lots of sugars and a lot of things to replace the fat. And now we are going the other way. So
exactly.
Now, what does this mean for our cholesterol goals? Have they changed the goals of LDL cholesterol that somebody should be having?
So they have. And the goal now isn't just a simple cholesterol goal, because what your cholesterol goal depends on your other overall risks. And so we've moved into a more holistic view of cardiovascular risk, looking at age and sex and race as a marker for ethnicity, and family history, and then other medical conditions such as pre-existing heart disease, peripheral arterial disease, and diabetes. Mm-hmm. When you put all of those together, then you get a much better idea of what someone's overall risk for heart disease is. And the treatments that we have for heart disease will reduce the absolute risk that you have. And the higher the absolute risk, the more benefit you get from the treatments.
Okay. So your specific goals for, say, LDL, otherwise known as kind of the bad cholesterol, that depends on what your risk level is.
That's correct. So if you have known coronary artery disease, then your recommended LDL goal is less than 100, but most cardiologists are pushing people down below 70. And with the new agents that hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about in the next segment, these medications can get the cholesterol down below 40.
Wow, that's a huge difference. Yeah, you're right. In our last few seconds of this segment, what if somebody does not have heart disease, but maybe they're in their 40s to 60s? What kind of level should they aim for with their LDL?
In general, we like to see people down around 130 or so LDL. A little bit isn't so bad if you don't have many other risk factors, but you can have lots of other risk factors and we'll want to treat you as if you already had heart disease.
Okay, that's really good to know. So what we're talking about, for anybody who just jumped in, we're talking about the newest guidelines for cholesterol, dietary cholesterol, and how to treat it and new ways to treat it. We're going to be coming back with our next segment talking about the newest medications for treating them, as well as what to do about your HDL and your triglycerides. So stay tuned. We'll have more information for all of our listeners on that.